Welcome back. Being that we are now in the days of Sfiras HaOmer, I thought it was an appropriate time to give us a little bit of an understanding of the mitzvah that we have the opportunity to fulfill in the counting of Sfiras HaOmer. So let's begin like this. Rav Zevin, who was a prolific writer in the 1900s, wrote in his Sefer HaMoadim BaHalacha. He says as follows: Lo Rav Hu HaMakom SheHukdash BaOfen Yashir LeHilchos HaSfira. There is not a lot in the primary sources that we find about Sfiras HaOmer. Daf Echad B'Talmud, it's only one page of Gemara in all of Talmud. Arba Halachas B'Rambam, it's four little sentences in the Halachas of the Rambam. Simen Echad B'Tur V'Shulchan Aruch, and all it is, all the Halachas of Sfiras HaOmer find themselves in one page of Gemara, in four sentences in the Rambam, and in one Simen, one chapter of the Shulchan Aruch. V'zeh HaKol, that's it. Avol Mu'ad Zeh Machzik Es HaMaruba. But this little bit is machzik es hamaruba. There is so much that lays on this small foundation that we have in the primary sources about Sfiras HaOmer. Pe'erosa mis'asvim l'sifrei ha'mefarshim ha'tshuvas b'mida rechava. There is such an exaggerated sense of discussion that comes about because of Sfiras HaOmer. Af ha'bayos ha'hilchatiyot. He says we have many halachic dilemmas ha'kshuras b'Sfiras HaOmer. Chashuvosin, we have so many halachic dilemmas that are very intricately involved in Sfiras HaOmer, and they are important not only b'mitzad atzman, b'mitzad hispashtusan, l'mikzos acherim michutz l'gvul ha'sfira. He says not only are they important for the aspect of Sfiras HaOmer and how many questions that arise regarding Sfiras HaOmer, but they're important because they have ramifications for many other halachas as well. So let's begin just with the fundamentals, just with the basics of Sfiras HaOmer itself. And what we're going to talk about today is whether Sfiras HaOmer in our days is considered a mitzvah midaraisa or only a mitzvah midrabanan. Is this something that is a biblical obligation, or is it something that is only rabbinic in its very nature? So let's begin with the first source, and that is the Psukim in Parshas Behar. Psukim in Parshas Behar tell us about the outline of the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. Let's read the Pasuk, Usvartem Lachem Mimachras HaShabbos, which is already a point of major contention. What do you mean, Mimachras HaShabbos? When do we start counting Sfira? Second day of Pesach. So why do you say Mimachras HaShabbos? The first day of Pesach doesn't always fall out to be on a Shabbos. So the Gemara tells us in Menachos Dav Samachay that what this is referring to is Shabbos here doesn't mean Shabbos like you thought. Shabbos here is referring to the first day of Yom Tov, the first day of Pesach, and what the Pasuk is coming to teach me is that we start counting after the first day of Pesach. So we start counting on Tes, Zion, Nisan. Now, this is something that was a major point of debate, a major point of dispute in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. You know, when we think of our picture of what the Beis HaMikdash was, we all think everything was hunky-dory, everything was great, everything was settled, and life was amazing for the Jews, and it's not the case. When we had a Beis HaMikdash, there was a major dispute that took place between the Tzdukim and the Prushim. The Prushim are the ones who followed all the Torah as we know it, all the Mesorah that we have. And the Tzdukim were the Karaites. They were the ones, basically, who denied the authenticity of Torah Shebaal Peh. They denied the authenticity of anything that was rabbinic, anything that described, that discussed a Pasuk in Chumash. They took everything in the Psukim very literally. So they said over here, Usvartam Lachem Mimachras HaShabbos. The reason why we're supposed to count Sfira starting on a Sunday, they said, is because Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, well, as we know, they said, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who authored the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jewish people, so he wanted them to have an extended weekend. So if you're going to start counting, on a Sunday, so you'll always end up having 49 days later that you'll have an extended weekend with Shavuos, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu had in mind. So this is basically what they felt was the reason why the Torah writes, Mimachras HaShabbos, you have to start counting on a Sunday. We're told about many different cases in which the Tzdukim and the Prushim disagreed. One very famous example that the Gemara gives in Menachos Dav Samachay is also that there was a disagreement as to the Karban Tamid. We bring two offerings every day. One, they are basically the bookends of our service in the Beis HaMikdash. So you have one which is the first Karban that we bring every day in the morning, Tamid Shel Shachar, and then you have later, at the other end of things, the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim, which is the last Karban that is offered every day in the Beis HaMikdash. So who's supposed to pay for those karbanos that are brought each and every day in the Beis HaMikdash? Who's supposed to pay that? So the Tzdukim said, well, let's look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Esakeves Echad Ta'aseh Baboker, Ve'esakeves Hasheni Ta'aseh Bein HaRabayim. They said, read the pasuk very literally. It means ta'aseh, which is in the very singular formulation, which means if I happen to have yahrzeit for my great-grandmother on this particular day, I'll go to the Beis HaMikdash, I'll say, today is my schus, I'm going to be the one to offer the karban tamid shel shachar, karban tamid shel ben harbaim, and it should be in the merit of my great-grandmother's yahrzeit. That's what they felt, because it says it b'lashon yachid, ta'aseh ben harbaim. We all know that that's not the halacha. If you keep reading further in that parsha, we're told that it's certainly supposed to be done mishal tzibur. It's supposed to be as the communal carbon. Every day, we as a community, and that comes from the machzis hashekel, we give every year machzis hashekel, we donate money to the Beis HaMikdash, that there should be a fund that's available for karbanos that have to be offered every day. This is a major point of dispute, and in fact, in the Beis HaMikdash itself, they were offering the wrong karbanos for many, many years. The Gemara tells us in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Tzdukim were the ones who were stronger, they put themselves in power, they were the ones who appointed the Kohen Gadol, they were the ones who were running the Beis HaMikdash, and we were just sitting there on the side, wondering when is it going to be our chance to retake over the Beis HaMikdash. Until finally the Gemara says there was a fight about this for so many years, and there were so many years where things were being done in the wrong way. Finally they came to power once again. The Prushim once again retook the Beis HaMikdash, and then it says they made a Chanukah Sabayis. They once again rededicated the Beis HaMikdash, that we're so excited that now we have the opportunity to run the Avoda, to run the service in the Beis HaMikdash the way it's meant to be run. They made like a Chanukah. Chanukah, as we know, was an opportunity for a Chanukah Samizbeach. They once again rededicated the Beis HaMikdash after it was in a state of destruction. Well, so too over here, the Gemara says in Menachos, after they retook over the Beis HaMikdash, and now the service was running the way it was supposed to, they once again had a Chanukah. They had a celebration of the rededication of the Mizbeach, the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash, that now things were running the way they were supposed to. So these are two very specific examples that the Gemara gives us, but there was a lot of tension at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and this was one of the points. When do we start counting Sfira? Is it Sunday, or do we say it is the day after the first day of Pesach? So let's read the pasuk once again. We who believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, we who believe in the understanding that the Chachamim interpreted from the Psukim, we understand this pasuk to mean, Usvartem lachem mimacharas HaShabbos. Macharas HaShabbos means the day after the first day of Pesach. Miyom HaBiyachem Es Omer HaTnufa. That's a very important statement. Miyom HaBiyachem Es Omer HaTnufa. So, we have the Yom Tov of Pesach, which is Tesvav Nisan. On Teszayin Nisan, which is really Eretz Yisrael, the first day of Chol HaMoed, here we have 2 days of Yom Tov, but in Eretz Yisrael they don't. So the first day of Chol HaMoed, every year on Pesach, they would offer the Karban HaOmer. The Karban HaOmer was something that was, an Omer was a measurement, so the Karban HaOmer was something that was offered every day on the second day of Pesach, and that was something that allowed us to eat the new crop, the Tevuah Chadasha. Right? We know nowadays some people keep Chadash and Yashan, so that's something that after the second day of Pesach is now permissible to eat. No longer is Chadash Aser, now we assume Chadash is permissible after the Karban HaOmer is brought. And the Mefarshim already asked, why is it that we call the Karban HaOmer? Why do you name a Karban after the measurement in which you measure out how much flour is supposed to go in there? It's a strange kind of thing. It should be known as something else. The Karban, not the Karban Pesach, because we know that's already taken for something else, but some other name that we can come up with. Why do we call it the Karban HaOmer after the measurement? Imagine you would call a cake the, I don't know the measurements, the, what? The cupcake. We do have such a thing, right? So imagine you would call a cake just after the measurement that you use of how much flour you're putting in. It doesn't make any sense. Imagine instead of calling it challah, you would call it the 5 pounds, right? If you use 5 pounds of flour, whatever. So why would you call it in such a way? The Medrash writes, interestingly enough, the Medrash writes that the reason why is because where do we find something that was named the Omer? Where do we find something that was the measurement of an Omer? That was the man that fell every day in the Midbar. The Haman was Asiris HaOmeri. The man was the measurement of an Omer. And the Medrash writes that this is to remind us of the experience of the man. Why should we remind ourselves of the experience of the man? What does that have any connection to this time of year? Explains some of the Mefarshim. The reason why is because what happened with the man was we showed our dependence, our complete reliance on God Himself. We showed that we have nothing that we can do to provide for ourselves. Here we are in the Midbar. We have nothing going for ourselves. We have no food. We have no anything. Everything that we have is obviously a blessing from God Himself. There's nothing that we can do to provide for ourselves. And perhaps this is the right time of year to remind ourselves of the very same. At the time of year when we're going to harvest all of our crops, and we might feel, look how successful we've been. Look how much crops we have developed over the past year. Look at all the techniques we use to develop our crops and make them even greater than they were last year. Here is the time to remind ourselves that, no, this is just like the Omer. This is the time to say, everything that we have, even though we've been very successful, even though we may have been more successful than we were last year, it's a time to remind ourselves that the only reason we are successful is because God allowed for that to happen. And it's because God provided for us the same way He provided for us at the time of the man in the Midbar, which was also the size of an Omer. So perhaps this is the reason why we call this the Korban HaOmer, because it's a chance to remind ourselves of the very old Omer that we had in the days of the Midbar, which was the measurement of the man that fell each and every day. Yeah. That's a different during the year. The Korban HaOmer was a communal Korban that was brought each and every year by the entirety of Klal Yisrael. That was a Korban that had to be brought by all of us together. Okay? So that's basically with regard to that. So let's start again. Let's try to get through this pasuk this time. Uspartem lachem mimachros haShabbos. So number one, when do you start counting? From the day after the first day of Pesach, mimachros haShabbos. Miyom haviyachem esomer atnufa. This also happens to be the day when we bring the Korban Omer HaTnufa, which is that which allows us now to eat the new grains, the Chadash. Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos Tiyana, you have to count 7 full weeks. Ad Mimachos HaShabbos HaShviyis Tisperu Chamishim Yom. V'yikravtem Mincha Chadash Al Hashem. So then you count all the way until Shavuos, and then you bring another Korban, the Shtei Halechem, which comes on Shavuos, and that is basically the other bookend. You have on the one hand the Korban Omer, which is the onset of the counting of the Sfira, and then you have the culmination of the sphere, which comes with the offering of the Shtei Halechem on Shavuos. So that's basically what the pasuk says. And this is one of the suggestions as to what we call the Shabbos before Pesach, Shabbos HaGadol. Anyone know? Why is it called Shabbos HaGadol? What's so special about the Shabbos before Pesach? So there are many suggestions. Some say the reason why is because the Gadol Ha'ir, the greatest person in the town, gets up and gives a drush and gives a speech about all the halachas we have to know. So that's why we call it Shabbos HaGadol. It's the Shabbos that the Gadol of the town shines. It's his time to give off a message for us to think about during the holiday of Pesach. That's what some say. Others say the reason why is because... What? Right, but why do we call it Shabbos HaGadol? Right, so this was the great time when nothing happened and something could have happened in Mitzrayim. That's what some suggest. But the B'nai Yisachar suggests in the name of other Achronim that perhaps the reason why is different. We know in the Torah every other time it says Shabbos, it means real Shabbos. All of a sudden over here is the exception to the rule. When it says Mimachros HaShabbos, it means, oh, don't think it means real Shabbos, it means fake Shabbos. It means Pesach. So we re-emphasize and we say, the Shabbos before Pesach, let's remind ourselves, there's the Shabbos HaGadol, there is real Shabbos that comes once a week, every week, and then there's Machros HaShabbos, which is not Shabbos HaGadol. That's regular Shabbos. So that, the B'nai Yisachar says, is perhaps the reason why we call the Shabbos before Pesach the Shabbos HaGadol, to remind ourselves that the halacha is we start counting Sfira not after the Shabbos HaGadol, but rather after the fake Shabbos, the Shabbos HaKatan, so to speak. Yeah.
Is there also a problem with Admi Macharat HaShabbat HaShvi'i, that after the seventh one, because the day after is not going to be the day after Shabbat, it's not going to be the day after Yom Tov?
Right. So this is a problem on both ends of the pasuk. Correct. Correct. Okay, so let's continue. So now that we know that we have a pasuk that says that when do you start counting Sfira? It is from the day after you offer the Korban. That is supposed to be the onset. That's supposed to be what triggers, what elicits our response of counting Sfira's Omer. Now the problem is, nowadays. So nowadays we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Nowadays we don't have a Korban HaOmer. And the question in the Rishonim is, should we assume that therefore Sfira's Omer no longer applies? Because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the offering, and that is what's supposed to trigger our response of counting the days of Sfira's HaOmer. So what's the status of Sfira's HaOmer nowadays? This is a major point of discussion amongst the Rishonim. The Rambam is of the opinion that even nowadays Sfira's HaOmer still remains a mitzvah d'oraisa. How can that be? We'll see in a few minutes. But it would seem very strange. How is that possible if the Pasuk tells us that what's supposed to get us going for the Sfira's HaOmer is the offering of the Korban HaOmer? So the Rambam needs to be explained in a major way. Other Rishonim say no. Obviously, nowadays, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, when we don't have a Korban any longer, Nowadays, the halacha would dictate that Sfiras Omer is no longer a mitzvah midaraisa, it's no longer a biblical obligation. Sfiras Omer nowadays is only zecher lemigdash, it's only a rabbinic obligation. So you'll say, what's the difference? Either it's daraisa, darabanan, you have to do it anyway. Either the rabbis told you to do it or the Torah told you to do it. So who cares? Either way, we have to follow. The answer is it makes a major difference. Take, for example, if somebody counts Sfiras Omer during Bein Hashmashas. Bein Hashmashas is the time of day when we're not sure if it's Yom or Laila. Is this daytime or is it nighttime? Now, Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying that it's not that we've been fighting about this for thousands of generations and we couldn't figure out whether this hour of the day is considered day or night. He explained in the name of the Ritva, one of the great Rishonim on the Gemara, who says that Bein Hashmashas is a time of day that has some qualities, some properties of daytime and some properties of night. So it's a real suffix, not that we're not sure, but it has properties of both, and therefore we're not sure if it's really day or night because it has properties of both, so really it's considered both. So therefore, whenever we have Bein Hashmashos, we're in a major state of doubt, should we consider this to be Yom or should we consider this to be Laila? So what happens? I look outside the window and I'm always nervous that I'm going to forget to count Sfira. I see it starts getting dark outside, I say, you know what? I remember that today is the 10th day of the Omer, now it's time to count. Why wait till later when I'm going to forget? I may as well count right now. Then I look at my clock and I say, I can't believe I just counted. Why did I just say a bracha? This is the time of Bein Hashmashos. It's not even dark outside yet. So why am I counting already? So do I go ahead and count again with a bracha or not? What would you say? Say it without a bracha. Why? So let's say like this. Let's say I counted at 5 o'clock in the afternoon for tomorrow. What would you say then? And now I realize at 9 o'clock at night, hey, why did I count when the sun was out? What would you say? Count with a bracha or without a bracha? Count with a bracha. Again, maybe I wasn't clear. Let's say at 5 o'clock in the afternoon today, I count Sfira for tomorrow. With a bracha. Would I once again count tonight at 9 o'clock? Of course I would, because what I did at 5 o'clock in the afternoon doesn't make any sense. It has nothing to do with tomorrow's mitzvah. So here, when I count during the time of Bein Hashmashos, which is not really the next day yet, so then logic should dictate that I should have to count once again with a bracha because I have not fulfilled my obligation. It is not yet Laila. It is not yet the next day. If you assume that Sfiras Omer would be D'Oraisa, the way the Rambam understands, then we would say if somebody counts during Bein Hashmashos, the rule dictates whenever you have a suffix D'Oraisa, whenever you have something which is biblical in its nature, you always have to err on the side of caution. So if you're not sure if at the time that you counted it was really nighttime or not, it was Bein Hashmashos, you don't know, you have to once again count again. But if you assume, like we assume, that nowadays Sfiras Omer is only Midrabanan, and nowadays Sfiras Omer is only Zecher LeMigdash to remind us of what was in the times of the Beis HaMikdash when they had the Karban HaOmer. But really, biblically, we have no obligation because the Pasuk says, Miyom HaViyachem Es Omer HaTnufa. And nowadays, we don't have that Karban. So then, if you counted in the time of Bein HaShmashos, you would not have to recount again because the general principle is, Safek Dirabanan Lekula. Whenever you're dealing with something which is only rabbinic in its nature, you have a right to say that what you did is good enough, and there's no reason to go back and do it again. So that is a major, very relevant nafkamina. That's a very relevant difference as to whether we would assume that Sfiras Omer nowadays is D'Oraisa or Sfiras Omer is only Midrabanan. Let's move on a little bit further. So we discussed a machlokas harishonim as to whether or not Sfiras Omer is D'Oraisa or Midrabanan. Let's look at a Gemara Menachos Daf Samach Vav, which is the source of the debate in the Rishonim. Says the Gemara Menachos Samach Vav, Gufa. Amar Abaye, mitzvah lemimne yomei, u'mitzvah lemimne shavuei. We have a dual obligation when it comes to Sfiras Omer. Number one, we have an obligation to count the days. Number two, we have an obligation to count the weeks. Now, this is a major point of disagreement as well. What does it mean you have an obligation to count the weeks? What does it mean, weeks? Does it mean you have an obligation to count on 7-14? Let's do our math. 7-14, 21, 28. Do we have an obligation only to count the weeks on the week intervals? When you're done with the week, so you should say, today is 7 days in the Omer, and it's 1 week. Today is 14 days in the Omer, and it's also 2 weeks. Or do you have an obligation to even keep count of the weeks on day 8, day 9, day 10, even though it's not at a week interval? So that's a very big discussion in the Rishonim as well. What exactly does it mean? Mitzvah l'mimni yomei, we have a mitzvah to count days and weeks. How far does that obligation of counting weeks go? Now the Gemara says, Rabbanan debei Rabashi, the Rabbanim were of the opinion that you should count weeks and you should count days. Ameimar, on the other hand, who disagreed with them, said, Mani yomi velo mani shivui. One only has to count days, and one does not have to count weeks. Why? Why not? So he says, because zecher lemigdashu. Since nowadays the whole nature of this mitzvah is only zecher lemigdash, therefore we should only count the days and not the weeks. That's the million-dollar question. Why? Why should we do the fake mitzvah? Once we have instituted that we should do it in commemoration to what was in the Beis HaMikdash, why don't we do it all the way?
Because it's Shavuot.
That what?
Because if you count the weeks, it's 7 weeks to
Shavuot. So what's wrong? No, that what you're saying is then we certainly should count the days and the weeks. Right, so why does he leave it out? Why does he say, nowadays that Sfiras Omer is only Midrabanan Zecher LeMikdash to commemorate what was, therefore we should leave out half of the mitzvah? What's the logic? What's the logic? So therefore? What? We count days, but why don't we also count weeks? So this is the major question. We'll get back to that in a few minutes. Let's hold on to that question. What is the understanding? What? Correct. So why is that important? Why is that important to do so? You're right. You're right. What? Oh, so we'll get to that. Hold on. It's a great comment, but we'll get to that soon. Just before we get to that, we discussed the machlokas here in the Gemara and in the Rishonim as to whether or not the nature of the mitzvah nowadays, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, is it Daraisa or is it only Darabanan? How can you possibly explain why it should still be Daraisa? Didn't we all read in the Pasuk that it says clearly, Miyom HaVeyachem Es Omer HaTnufa? What is... That what?
The first part,
right.
So why do
you don't splice a pasuk and just stop there. Usfarta machem imachos haShabbos when?
Two conditions. You have one first, and then second.
I don't think so. So let's see. So what's the reason? Why should you assume that this should be Daraisa? So the reason why we should assume that, what generally is suggested is, because there are two ways of reading that phrase. Miyom haviyachem es omer atnufa. What exactly does that mean? Doesn't mean it's from the time that you actually go ahead and offer karban, that's when you should start counting, which nowadays we don't have that opportunity to offer it. Or is it no? Miyom haviyachem, from the yom that you're supposed to bring it. So what obligates us in the Sfira Selmer? What triggers the Sfira? Is it the day, Tezayin Nisan, which happens to be every year the day that we bring the karban haomer? Or is it the actual offering of the karban haomer itself? This is what most suggests is the understanding as to why we would say that perhaps even nowadays when we don't offer the karban, Sfiras Omer might be Daraisa anyway. Why? Because it's not that the karban is what triggers the counting of the sphere, it's rather the yom, it's the day, Tes Zayin Nisan, which triggers the Sfiras Omer and elicits our response of counting the days of the Omer. This is directly related to the discussion as to whether women are obligated in the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer or not. We all know women are obligated in mitzvahs that are not time-bound. Women are not obligated to keep mitzvahs that are time-bound. We have many mitzvahs throughout the year that are in both categories, and the question is, where should the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer fall? So you look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, as I and anyone would have said, look at number Dalid, mitzvah zu al kol ish mi Yisrael. This is an obligation on every male in the Jewish people, v'chol makom v'chol zman. In every generation and every time, again, the Rambam is of the opinion, even when you don't have a karban, you still have to go ahead and count the Sfira. Now says the Rambam, V'nashim v'avadim p'turim yisfiras ha'omer. Women, what?
Well, they differentiate between nashim and avadim.
Okay. So nashim v'avadim p'turim yisfiras ha'omer. Women are not obligated in the mitzvah of Sfiras ha'omer. Why should women not be obligated in Sfiras ha'omer? Why should they not be obligated? Because it's time bound. It's only at this time of year, so therefore it's a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. It belongs in that category. And the same way women are not obligated to sit in the sukkah, women are not obligated to blow the shofar, so too they are not obligated to go ahead and count the days of the Omer. The problem is that even though the Rambam says like this, even though the Sefer Achinuch writes the same, even though the Magen Avraham in Siman Taf Pei Tes also echoes this sentiment, the Ramban writes not so. The Ramban, Nachmanides, says, women are obligated in Sfiras HaOmer because it's a mitzvah saseh shelo hazman grama. So how can you possibly say that? So one second. So what exactly does it mean? It's a mitzvah saseh shelo hazman grama. And don't say because you have 24 hours to count the day of the Omer. No, no. Why not? Because you have 24 hours to blow the shofar also. Not 24, but you have most of the day. And you have 24 hours to sit in the sukkah. And sukkah, and we have many other examples that, even though the 24 hours are still called Zman Grama, because it's only today that you have the obligation. So how can you say over here that it makes any sense to call this a mitzvah sensei that is not time-bound, if we know that it has to be done and fulfilled at only this period in the year? So this is a very big question. It's a very difficult thing to understand. There are those who take the easy way out and say, printing mistake. Printing mistake. What's the printing mistake? So they say, really, the Ramban was just giving a list of mitzvahs that women are obligated to do and mitzvahs that they're not. So the Ramban originally wrote Mem Ayin with an asterisk in between. So he says Mem Ayin is something that women are obligated to do and that is not time-bound. What did he refer to? He said Matnas Aniyim. To give tzedakah is an obligation that women have. So instead of writing Matnas Aniyim, he writes Mem Ayin. And over time, that got confused, and people wrote Samach Ayin instead of Mem Ayin. And then there was a printer who decided, why make everybody break their heads to figure out what Samach Ayin stands for? I may as well write it out to say Sviras Omer. Okay, so this is one way of understanding that the whole thing is a printing mistake. I never like saying such things, because... What?
Are there manuscripts?
So number one, there are manuscripts not only in the Ramban, but there are others who quote the same thing from the Ramban and say clearly that it's Sviras Omer. So how can you say everybody is coming off of the same mistake? Everybody just had a printing error and everybody had this started off as a Mem Ayin and then ended up as a Samach Ayin and then ended up being Sviras Omer. It's hard to say such a thing. Rav Soloveitchik believed that the whole thing is a mistake. No reason to waste any time figuring out what the Ramban meant. The whole thing is a mistake anyway. If you don't want to assume like that, the question is, what exactly does the Ramban mean? So the Avnei Nezer, one of the great Gedolim in the 1800s, the Avnei Nezer says, no, when do we start counting Sviras Omer? We start counting Sviras Omer on the holiday of Pesach. Well, are women obligated in all the mitzvahs of Pesach? Why are the women obligated in Pesach? Why are the women obligated to eat matzah? How come they have an obligation? Isn't that mitzvah saseisha as man grama? The reason why is because the same way women are not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach, so too we learn they must eat matzah on Pesach. So therefore we assume that there's some sort of connection between the isser to eat chametz and the mitzvah to go ahead and eat matzah. Says the Avnei Nezer, the same way women are obligated in all the mitzvahs of Pesach, even though they are time-bound, this is also one of the mitzvahs of Pesach, and therefore they're obligated in that as well. It's a very nice suggestion, but it's hard to accept. Number one, because the Ramban says, it is not time-bound. He doesn't say that, no, since it's subsumed under the category of Pesach, therefore women are obligated as well. He says, no, this is a mitzvah that is not a time-bound mitzvah, and that's why women are obligated. So how do we understand what the Ramban means? The classical explanation that's given as to why we should assume that perhaps Sviras Omer is not a time-bound mitzvah is based on what we said before. What precipitates our obligation to start counting Sviras? What elicits our response? Is it the Yom? Is it the day of Tezai and Nisan? Or is it the offering of the Karban HaOmer? So what the Ramban is teaching us here is, in order for something to be in the category of a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, in order for something to be considered a time-bound mitzvah, that can only be the case if the time is what obligated me to do so. But if there's something else that obligates me to do it, and that something else happens to be done on a certain date, then I do not consider that in the category of mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. A brilliant interpretation, but it makes a lot of sense. Take, for example, just to explain it a little better. Kiddush Levana, once a month. How many people say Kiddush Levana once a month? No one, right? I mean, males always say Kiddush Levana. I would imagine most females do not say Kiddush Levana. Look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin when the Gemara is trying to figure out what exactly is the proper text for Kiddush Levana. So what should be the Gemara's question? One rabbi is sitting next to another one, and he asks him, by the way, do you have any idea, what are we supposed to say when we go outside once a month and we say Kiddush Levana, right? Wouldn't that be the normal way to ask the question? Yet the Gemara does not ask that. The Gemara says, Nashi didan mai mevarchus. The Gemara says, our women, when they go ahead and recite Kiddush Levana, what do they say? What is the proper text? What do the women say? Which is a very strange question. Why don't you just ask, what does everybody say? So I don't know. What you see clearly in the Gemara is that in those times, women obviously recited Kiddush Levana. So there are those who say, the Magen Avraham says, yeah, it's not proper for women to say Kiddush Levana because, as we know, the Levana became smaller because of Chava and the mistake that she made, so women shouldn't go ahead and slap it in the face of the Levana, no reason. Okay, it's a Kabbalistic reason. I don't know what to do with that. Let's talk halacha. Are women supposed to say Kiddush Levana or not? Should we assume this is a time-bound mitzvah or not? So you'll say, what do you mean? Kiddush Levana comes once a month. That's time-bound. But there are many who suggest that it's not a time-bound mitzvah. Why? Because it's not any particular day that obligates us to recite Kiddush Levana. It's rather, Haroa Levana B'chidusha. Somebody who sees the rejuvenation, the regeneration of the moon, that's what obligates us to go ahead and recite Kiddush Levana. So it's not a particular day that obligates the mitzvah. It is the sight of the Levana B'chidusha. That's very similar to the case we're describing. Right? I think it explains it a little better. So again, this whole discussion about what exactly obligates us to count Sfira nowadays, whether the obligation is because of the Karban, which would mean that nowadays our obligation is only Midrabanan, or is it that the Yom Tes Zayin is what obligates us, which would mean that even nowadays we have an obligation as well, that has a major nafkamina, that has a major ramification regarding women's obligation as well. Should we assume women have a biblical obligation in Sfira Seomer because it is not a time-bound mitzvah? Or should we assume that no, this is the same as Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama that we find throughout the year where women are not obligated to fulfill the mitzvah? The Mishnah Berurah writes a very interesting comment from the Sefer Shulchan Shlomo. I'll take your question in a minute. The Mishnah Berurah writes that there are two reasons why women practically should not count Sfira Seomer. Number one, he says, because women are totally illiterate, they have no idea what they're saying, and there's no reason for them to count. So nowadays, that obviously is not the case, which is surprising that the Mishnah Berurah lived how long ago? Not so long ago. He died in 1930. So in 1930, that was the state of the Jewish people, not the actual state, but that was the condition of the Jewish people, that the women were totally illiterate. I'm sure many men didn't know how to read either, but at least they went to shul. They listened to the chazan who counted Sfira every night. Women generally did not go to shul, so they didn't know how to read. A woman didn't know how to read from a sitter. Can you imagine? A woman didn't know how to read from a sitter. What? Beis Yaakov started right around then. Beis Yaakov was just starting then. Maybe that's the reason, right? So they realized that there's a major deficiency. How could it be that half the population doesn't know how to read? Doesn't make any sense. So number one, says the Mishnah Berurah, nowadays women shouldn't count because they don't know how to read. So that's obviously not the case nowadays. So we don't follow that. Number two, the Mishnah Berurah says, the reason why women don't have to count is because they're going to forget, and who's going to remember anyway? Nowadays, when we all have charts that we get in the mail, and we all have texts, and we all have the emails, and we have everything else that reminds us, the same way a woman will forget, a man will forget as well. Right? Forgetting, neither of us are more prone to forgetting. It's not that men are going to remember more so than women. We have reminders all over the place. We have it in front of our faces, and therefore we would assume that nowadays women should go ahead and count Sfira Seomer, the same way they go ahead and listen to the shofar, the same way they go ahead and obligate themselves in many other mitzvahs as man grama. Yes?
How could they even say that when Beria is quoted in the Gemara?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Of course there were individuals who knew, of course. He's just saying, I know my community, and most of the women that I know do not know how to read, which is very surprising. Yeah. Counting has nothing to do with reading. What does that mean? But you have to say a bracha. You have to do it, right? Okay. I'm not convinced that those examples are exactly the same, but we could talk about it after. Okay. So this is basically the general interpretation that's given. If you look back at the Gemara Menachos, we mentioned the point before that Amemar was of the opinion that since nowadays our whole nature of the obligation of Sfiras Omer is only Zecha L'Migdash, it's only to remind us of what was, therefore nowadays he said we should only count the days and not the weeks. And somebody raised the question, I forgot who it was, somebody here raised the question, why should we leave out half of the mitzvah? Just because we're doing something in commemoration of the Beis HaMikdash, why should we leave out half the mitzvah? You gave a great suggestion, we'll get to that, but let's just build up the case before we get to your suggestion. We have a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, where the Gemara tells us something which is a very fundamental principle in our mitzvah observance throughout the year. Says the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Minalan Dav Dinan Zecher LeMikdash. How do you know that when there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash, how do you know that we have an obligation to do things throughout the year that will somehow remind us of what was in the times of the Beis HaMikdash? Says the Gemara, the Amar Kram. Because the pasuk says, "Ki ele arucha lach umimakosecha erpaecha nu mashem." I will once again rehabilitate you from all of your wounds. Ki nidche karulach, because you are called excommunicated, you're out of the picture. Tzion hi dorish ein la. Tzion is a reference to Yerushalayim, to Eretz Yisrael. Dorish ein la, there is nobody who is talking about it. Says the Gemara, from the fact that the Navi cries and says, Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, there's nobody who's talking about it. Mechlal, we learn from here, deboi drisha, that we need to make sure to be proactive. We need to make sure that we speak about Yerushalayim, and that means, how are we going to get ourselves to talk about it? Well, if we institute things throughout the year that remind us of what was in the times of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, that's a great way to make sure that we talk about Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash as well. If you look in the Ramchal, in the Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal writes in Perek Yutes, look at these important words that he has. Hine vaday tzarech sheyistar tamid tzar mamish. Not just to pay lip service, says the Ramchal. Mesilas Yesharim, one of the most classical works that we have. The Mesilas Yesharim writes, not just to pay lip service in our davening. We say with Yerushalayim, Mirchas, Tzemach David, yeah, we want a gula, we want... Really? Really? Says the Mesilas Yesharim. Tzarech sheyitzdar tamid tzar mamish. We have to be in pain, literally, over the fact that we do not have a Beis HaMikdash. Ala gula, ala galus v'ala churban. Over the fact that we find ourselves in a state of galus and churban, of destruction. So you imagine in your mind, why is it important that we have a Beis HaMikdash? Why is that necessary that we have a Beis HaMikdash? So you'll say, because there's going to be gold falling off of the trees in the times of Mashiach, right? That's what kids think. They think everything, life is going to be amazing. The Rambam says nothing's going to change. Life's going to be exact same. So why do we need a Beis HaMikdash? What's so important? Because you want to offer a carbon? Is that why it's important? Says the Mesilas Yesharim, no. The main focus, the main reason why is because mitzad ma shezeh gorim miyot kavayachal lechvod yisbarach. Because from the fact that we have no Beis HaMikdash, that has diminished the dignity of God Himself. His grandeur is not as much as it should be. His presence is not here. And that's why we want a Beis HaMikdash. And we should have a craving, an insatiable desire for the Geula. Because once when we have a Geula, once we have a Beis HaMikdash, that will be the greatest dignity that can be given to the name and to the presence of the Shechina itself. V'im Yomar Adam, says the Mesilas Yesharim, if somebody will say, Mi ani, who am I already? Living in Woodmere, living in the Five Towns, what's so special about me? Anyone who knows Hebrew, ma'ani safun. Somebody sent me last night that the art scroll translates safun as purpose. I don't know what that word comes from. I don't think in modern Hebrew we have such a word. So I don't really know where art scroll got the translation. I don't really know what he means. What? Safun? That's the word? No, safun. But what's safun? What is with a samach? With a samach also? Yeah? So, ma'ani, very good. So, mi'ani, what am I? Uma'ani safun, what is hidden inside of me, you're saying? What is my potential? What do I bring to the Jewish story? She'espalal ala galus v'al Yerushalayim. Am I worthy of davening for the end of our galus and for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim? Ha'mipnei tfilasi, do you really think that because of my simple prayer, yikansu ha'galios v'tatzmiach ha'yeshua? Does anyone really think? I daven a Shemona Esrei, a Semach David, rattle it off, turn the page, flip it, go move on. 3 steps forward, 3 steps back. You really think that the Geula is going to come because of my Shemona Esrei? That our suffering, that our Galus will end because of my Shemona Esrei? Tshuvasa Betzido. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, the answer is, Ka'osa Shashaninu, in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Ches, Lefikach Nivra Adam Yechidi. Why was Adam HaRishon created by himself? God knew that Adam HaRishon needed a wife. God knew that Adam HaRishon couldn't live in this world without a society. So why did he create Adam HaRishon originally by himself? And then he says, oh, lo tova yosa Adam levada. By the way, it really doesn't make sense that Adam should be alone. What do you think, he made a mistake? He didn't realize that in the beginning? When he created the world, he didn't realize maybe we need a few more people in order to populate a world? Says the Gemara, no. Kedei shekal echad yomar, that everyone should look back at that experience of Adam HaRishon being created and remind themselves that bishvili nivra olam, the world was worthy of being created for one person. The world was worthy of being created for one person. Ukvar nachas ruach ulefanav yizbarach. And this gives such great pleasure, says the Mesillas Yesharim, that God's children are mevakshim umispalalim alzos, are anticipating and yearning for the geula. Even though we've been praying for this for so many generations, and he still has not come through, so to speak, me'eza tamshiyah, whatever the reason is, Hine'em asu eshalahem. We know that we have done our part. We know that God wants us to talk about it, to yearn for it, to keep it on the forefront of our consciousness, and we have done our part. And that much we can turn to Him and say, we know that we've done everything we can, now it's in your hands. And that's all God wants from us. That's all He expects. You look a little further, look at the last line, He says, Harei kan. We cannot say, I am not obligated to really care about the geula, to really care about the churban, to really make it bother me that we're not in Yerushalayim, because who am I anyway? Because we are taught in Pirkei Avos, lo alecha hamlacha negmar, v'iyata benchor livato heimenu. Your job in life is not to finish everything. Your job in life is not to accomplish everything that has to be fixed in the world. Your job is just to add your contribution. And what God wants from all of us is to show that we care. You're going to say, really, does He care that I care? The answer is yes. Because lefikach nivra adam yechidi. The world was worthy of being created even for one person. And that, says the Mesillas Yesharim, has to be our perspective when we think about the state of the Jewish people without a Beis HaMikdash, without a Yerushalayim that's rebuilt. You say, well, nowadays Yerushalayim is rebuilt. This was a discussion, in fact, Rav Gorin and others discussed, after the Six-Day War, when they reconquered Yerushalayim, maybe we should stop saying, on Tisha B'Av, Yerushalayim ha-bzuya v'ha-shomema. What do you mean? Yerushalayim is not shomema, it's not empty anymore. And the answer is no. We continue to say it because, even though, yes, it's populated, but that's not the Yerushalayim that we look forward to. Yes, it's a very special experience, but we do not have a geula. We do not have a functioning Yerushalayim the way it's supposed to function. If you look at the Siddur of the Yavetz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden wrote a commentary on the Siddur. And there he throws in little comments along the way. Now, he doesn't like to put in big paragraphs because that will throw off the pagination of the Siddur. So he just puts little comments. So here, look what he writes. When he talks about Tisha B'Av and he introduces the topic of Tisha B'Av, all of a sudden he goes way out of proportion and he's no longer giving a commentary on the Siddur. He's ad-libbing. He's just giving a whole what's on his mind. Look what he says. Here, when I'm introducing the topic of Tisha B'Av, I'm going to go way out of my comfort zone, and now I'm going to start expanding my words. Ilmale, he says, Ilmale lohaya avon zebiadenu. If we were the greatest tzaddikim and tzedkaniyos in the world, and we fulfilled every mitzvah that we were supposed to do, and we never spoke Lashon Hara, and we did everything that God wanted us to do, which we don't. But says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, if you could imagine that we did. And ilmale lohaya avon zebi adenu. And the only aveira that we transgress, the only problem that we have, the only thing we are not doing right is, Sheimis ablan al Yerushalayim karoi. If we would do everything else right, except for this, except for caring and thinking about Yerushalayim, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Hayadai bazeh leharich galiyuseinu. That would be a good enough excuse for God to keep us in the exile. Hayadai bazeh leharich galiyuseinu. If not for any other reason. And now you look what he says, we would never say this on our own. V'hi be'enai, this is Rabbi Yaakov Emden talking, and he says, in my eyes and my opinion, this is hasiba hakrova. You want to point a finger and say, what is the reason for all hayoser gluya atzuma v'chazaka l'chol hashmados, for all of the pogroms, hamuflogos, the pogroms that we cannot even understand, hagdolos v'hanoros hamavhilos harayonim, all the genocide, all the decimation that we have suffered throughout all the generations in Galus, Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, you want to point a finger? And it's very hard for us to say such a thing. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, if you want to point a finger and figure out, how could it be? All of this execution, all of this persecution against the Jews, Asher Matzana Begalas, that we have experienced throughout all the years of our exile, B'chal Makamas Bezirena, wherever we have been, Al Tzavarenu Nirdafnu, everywhere we went, we have been run after, Lo Hu Nachlanu Lahargia Bagayim Im Shifluseinu, Avoneinu Umarudeinu, we have not been able to be felt like human beings anywhere we have been. You want to know what it's all about? Lefi sheyatza ha'evel halaz milibenu. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, I can point a finger. It's lefi sheyatza ha'evel halaz milibenu. It's because we no longer care. It's because we don't have a feeling of loss in our hearts over the lack of a Beis HaMikdash and the lack of a rebuilt Yerushalayim. Shachachnu es Yerushalayim, he writes. We have completely forgotten and forsaken Yerushalayim. Lo alsa alibeinu. We don't even think about it. We don't care about it. Kasher yochiach anisan. He says, I'm going to take you for a test. Let's see if it's true. And he writes that on Tisha B'Av, which is the day that is set aside for being misabel on Yerushalayim. Ask Rabbi Yaakov Emden, how many people do you see that cry on Tisha B'Av? How many people do you see that sit on the floor and cry on Tisha B'Av not because they just lost their parents, not because it reminds them of something else, but because they do not have a Beis HaMikdash? And says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that's the day that's set aside, that's designated in our calendar to think about this, and still we don't cry, and still we don't care. So he writes, Ein Tzarach Lomar B'Shayim Os Hashanah. Certainly, any other day of the year, we can say Asamach David with Yerushalayim Ircha every day. How often do we cry about it? If we don't even cry on Tisha B'Av, how many people do you know that cry every day in Shemona Esrei over the loss of a Beis Hamikdash? Ein Zocher, Ein Poked, Ein Dover Mimenu, Afilu B'Machshava. Lo Bazechrona Ki'ilu Mikre Hayalanu. He says, it's like the same way if I stub my toe, I move on with life and everything's fine. Kilu mikra hayalanu. Something happened to me, I move on. So this is the same. Something happens to us. It might be something as wild as a churban beis hamikdash. It might be something as life-altering as the loss of Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. Mikra hayalanu. I stub my toe. Something happened, I move on. And this, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, is something that we have to keep in mind. That's exactly what the Gemara tells us. Minalan ta'avdinan zeichel hamikdash. How do we know that we have an obligation, a very sacred obligation, to do whatever we can to bring about the memory of Yerushalayim? And therefore the Gemara goes on to tell us that there were so many things that were instituted throughout the calendaric year to remind us of the days of Yor, to remind us of the days of Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash. So one of those examples is Sfiras Omer, as we said. Another example the Mishnah gives us is on Sukkos. On Sukkos, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, how many days did we have to shake the lulav? What? Ulakachtem lachem beyom harishon. Pasuk says you have to shake the lulav and esrog on the first day of Sukkos. However, the Pasuk says, Usmach lefnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yamim. So from there we learn, you have to rejoice with Hashem for 7 days in His presence, means you only have an obligation to take the lulav and esrog on the first day. However, if you happen to be in the Beis HaMikdash, then you have an obligation to do it for the duration of Sukkos as well. So in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, only those who found themselves in Yerushalayim at the Beis HaMikdash for the duration of Sukkos shook lulav every day. But for the rest of us who didn't live there, we only shook one day. So what happened? Why do we do it every day now? Where does this come from? So the Gemara tells us, because they wanted to make some sort of zikaron, some sort of remembrance for the Beis HaMikdash. So we said, the same way that they used to have shaking of the lulav every single day of Sukkos, we have adopted that practice, and now, even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, we do that as well. That was the institution, again, as a zecher l'migdash, to remind us of the days when we had a Beis HaMikdash, yeah?
You can argue that the fact that people are doing it every day now is okay, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, forget that HaMikdash, we're doing it now. So, you know, I don't mean...
You're saying that it's bringing the opposite effect, that we don't feel lacking. It's a good point, that we don't feel lacking. Interesting point. Got to think about that. I like it. It's a good point. So now let's contrast these two mitzvahs. Let's think about these two examples. The example of shaking lulav each and every day, and the example of Sfiras HaOmer nowadays. Both of them are institutions that are Zecher LeMikdash. So ask Rabbeinu Zrachya HaLevi, the Raza. Rabbeinu Zrachya HaLevi wrote a sefer called the Ma'or HaGadol. So he's really referred to as the Baal HaMa'or, because he's the person who wrote the sefer HaMa'or, the enlightening sefer. But his real name is Rabbeinu Zrachya HaLevi. So in number tests, the Raza, the Baal HaMa'or, asked the following question. When we have an opportunity to fulfill a mitzvah at sporadic times in the year, we recite a bracha of Shehecheyanu. Right? So why is it that when we shake lulav for the first time, we recite a Shehecheyanu? However, when we count Sfira for the first time, we do not recite a Shehecheyanu. So why is that the case? Shouldn't this be the same as every other mitzvah opportunity that we have throughout the year? So why do we not recite Shehecheyanu? So you want to say because it's a long mitzvah, it goes for 49 days. Or you want to say because we have all sorts of reasons. Listen to what? You say what on the second night? But that's not connected. That's not connected at all. So, what does the Baal HaMa'or suggest? Why is it that we do not recite a Shehecheyanu when we say Sfira HaOmer nowadays? Says the... What? So you don't know if you're going to finish the mitzvah. Okay, there are many suggestions that are given. What I want to focus on, well, these are all great answers. There are those who say that. But let's look as follows. The Baal HaMa'or himself suggests the reason why not is because Shalamatzinu Birchas Hazman, the only time Birchas Hazman means Shehecheyanu, the only time we recite Shehecheyanu is Bedaber Sheyesh Bo Mishum Hana'a, something that we take pleasure in doing. Kegon Netilas Lulav Shehu Bala Simcha. Shaking the lulav is so exciting. So therefore, you know what? We're going to say Shehecheyanu. However, says the Baal HaMa'or, Sfiras HaOmer Ein Bo Shum Zecher L'Shum Hana'a. Sfiras HaOmer doesn't give us pleasure. That's not what he says. Ela la'agmas nafshenu l'churban beis ma'avayenu. Sfiras HaOmer just reminds us of the Churban beis Hamikdash. Sfiras HaOmer reminds us of the Churban beis Hamikdash. Why would we say a Shehecheyanu? Thank you so much, Shigiyanu lazman hazem, when we don't have a beis Hamikdash and we count Sfira? Why would we say such a thing? So this is what the Baal HaMa'or says. When you shake the lulav, that's very exciting. We say Shehecheyanu. When you count Sfira, that's a very depressing thing to do, because it reminds us of the Churban beis Hamikdash. Don't say Shehecheyanu. What's the difference? Weren't both of these instituted in commemoration of the beis Hamikdash? Shouldn't these be the same? Shouldn't these be on the same level? If you're not going to recite a Shehecheyanu on Sfiras HaOmer because Sfiras HaOmer is something that reminds us of the Churban beis Hamikdash, shouldn't shaking the lulav be the same? So you'll say, well, the first day of Sukkot, we shake lulav because that's the primary obligation, that has nothing to do with beis Hamikdash. So, it's a great case, but you ready for a challenge? So what happens if somebody's in a coma for the first 3 days of Sukkot? And they wake up, and now their first thing they want to do is, we want to shake lulav. But it's already the fourth day of Sukkot. Do I say Shehecheyanu? Yes. Why am I shaking lulav today? No, that's why I'm saying Shehecheyanu, because it's my first time shaking the lulav. But why am I shaking the lulav today? Am I shaking the lulav because it's the first day of Sukkot, or it's because they did this in the Beis HaMikdash, even on the subsequent days of Sukkot? Aha. So the answer is, I shake the lulav today because they shook lulav in the Beis HaMikdash all the days, and we have a Zecher LeMikdash commemoration, and yet I recite a Shehecheyanu. So that's a great test case. Why is it, when I have Sfiras HaOmer nowadays, I do not recite a Shehecheyanu? If I shake lulav nowadays on one of the subsequent days of Sukkot for the first time, I do recite a Shehecheyanu, even though that is also in commemoration of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. How do you explain this? How is this to be explained? So my father writes in the name of Rav Soloveitchik that the answer is a very subtle difference, but it's a very important difference to be aware of. We have commemorations throughout the year that remind us of the Beis HaMikdash, but in two different ways. We have some things that remind us of the days of yore of the Beis HaMikdash. We took a beautiful practice of shaking lulav all the days of Sukkot, and we said, you know what? That's such a beautiful mitzvah experience. Zecher l'migdash, to remind us of that amazing, uplifting experience of shaking lulav every day. We're going to do that today also, even outside the Beis HaMikdash. But we have other opportunities throughout the year, which are zecher l'churban, which are depressing. Sfiras ha'omer, we call it Sfiras ha'omer. We remind ourselves, omer is the karban. We remind ourselves, do you remember? There was a time when we had a karban. Hayom asara yamim ba'omer. Today are 10 days to the karban. Oh my God, we don't even have a karban omer. We keep reminding ourselves of the fact that there was a Beis HaMikdash and it's not here. The whole nature of the mitzvah of Sfiras ha'omer is not a zecher l'migdash, but rather it's a zecher l'churban. We have a Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Samach. The Gemara tells us, Sad Adam Beis HaBesid, when a person has the opportunity to build a new house, you plaster up the house, you paint the house, but you leave over an Amah al Amah. You leave over a certain space, a designated area in the house, which we don't paint. Why? That's not Zecher L'Migdash. That's Zecher L'Churban. We have by a wedding, we break a glass. Why do we break a glass? Imesh Kachechi Vishalayim, Zecher L'Churban, remind yourself. There was a time when we had a Beis HaMikdash and it's no longer here. So we have different things that we do throughout the year which are not Zecher L'Migdash but rather Zecher L'Churban. And says the Baal HaMaor, this is what he means. Why do we recite a Shachiyana when we shake the lulav even on subsequent days of Sukkot? Because that's a Zecher L'Migdash. It's exciting. It's a beautiful experience. But why do we not recite a Shachiyana when it comes to the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? Because that's Zecher L'Churban. That's reminding us of Beis Mavayenu. That's reminding us of the terrible tragedy that we lived through, that we don't have the opportunity to have a Beis HaMikdash and to offer the Karban HaOmer. And this is why, says the Baal HaMaor, that we do not recite a Shachiyanu when we have the opportunity to count Sfira, whereas we would recite a Shachiyanu when we shake the lulav. And this makes a lot of sense. Tosas and Maseches Megillah Daf Chaf ask, why is it that it's just strange? The only time that we recite a tefillah after we do a mitzvah, which is Zecher L'Churban, the only time we recite a tefillah of Harachamanu Yachzervanu Avodas Beis HaMikdash. Anyone say that after you count Sfira? You're supposed to say that paragraph. Harachaman, may it be your will. Hu Yachzer Lanu Avodas Beis HaMikdash L'Mkoma, may you bring back the Beis HaMikdash to its place. B'mehera B'yameinu Amen Sel. That's something we recite right after we count Sfira each and every night of the Omer. Why? How come every time we shake the lulav, why don't we do the same thing? Isn't that also in commemoration of the Beis HaMikdash? Don't we have many things that we do in commemoration for the Beis HaMikdash? How come only here is the time that we say, you know what, I just counted the Omer, it would make sense for me now to go ahead and offer a tefillah, Hu Yachzer Lanu Avodas Beis HaMikdash, may you once again bring back the service in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? And the answer is because this is a mitzvah that is done Zecher L'Churban. When you do something which is in commemoration of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it makes a lot of sense that your response, your reaction should be, God, I have just done something to remind myself of the Churban. Now can you do something and make sure that you bring back the Beis HaMikdash? Can you bring us back to that time when we're going to celebrate once again in the Beis HaMikdash? And this is what Sfiras HaOmer is all about. Sfiras HaOmer nowadays is an opportunity for us to do a commemoration of a Zecher L'Churban commemoration. This is why we say Harachaman. This is why we do not say Shechiyanu. This is why, even though nowadays we no longer have a Karban HaOmer, we still have an institution, Zecher L'Migdash, Zecher L'Churban, we still have an institution nowadays which is to remind ourselves of those days when we used to have a Karban HaOmer and we actually offered it on Tezayin Nisan. And we look forward, Harachaman. This is the tefillah that we offer each and every night, that God should once again bring us back to the time when we have a Beis HaMikdash, when we're able to serve Him, and we can once again have the Karban HaOmer and the Sfiras HaOmer the way it was meant to be observed in the times when we had a Beis HaMikdash. Amir Tashem, next week we'll...